Pastor Rick, who's in Alabama right now, has asked me to tell you that he misses you and he sends his love. We're getting to that point in his trip where we're getting excited for him to come back. I think he's like at the halfway mark, so it's getting closer now. We are doing a one Sunday sermon because I need to prove to myself I can still do it. Y'all looking like you're doubtful. Well, you'll see. Potholes is the name of this sermon. And why we were driving in from Fort Lauderdale, and when I say we, I mean Pastor Marjorie. I was the passenger. As Pastor Marjorie was driving in from Fort Lauderdale, we were almost home when we turned on the corner to County Road 29, when Marjorie goes through this pothole. I am sure at this time that I have lost a tire. My alignment is destroyed. And I'm pretty sure all the paint has fallen off the car. Now, being the man of God that I am, and the husband that I am, are you okay? Don't even worry about the car. I will get it repainted. That was what was in my heart. However, my mouth chose not to cooperate with my heart. And although I know that Marjorie is only 4'11" and can barely see over the steering wheel, what my mouth said was, "How could you not see that pothole? Why did you drive through that pothole?" And God tells me that no one sees the potholes. Potholes develop on roads that were previously perfectly fine. We're going to Ohio shortly, and there are so many potholes, sometimes I'm afraid to drive. One day your relationship is going great, then all of a sudden you run over a pothole that wasn't there the day before, or the hour or the minute before. Had you seen the pothole, you could have avoided it. The devil puts potholes in place to distract you, to deceive you, to anger you. And if he hits the trifecta, it can destroy you. We think we're on a course. And then someone was telling me this week about a course that he was on. And all of a sudden, he stepped in a pothole. What he thought was going to happen isn't going to happen just the way he thought it was going to happen. Now it's still going to happen because he has the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. But he has to get through the pothole. He's got to get through the obstacle that was put in place by the devil. None of us are exempt from the potholes of life, the spiritual potholes that the devil puts in place to get you off course. And what we fail to understand in mathematics is that a little bit off course, miles away, is a lot off course. an angle that starts off 1 degree off doesn't feel like much or seem like much in the present place you're in, but a year later, if you stayed off course, that 1 degree will become a great distance. So sometimes potholes can be very sudden. Sometimes they can be larger. What's the problem? Or what the problem is? The problem is we're not alert enough to see the potholes. And I watch many people walk in the same pothole every time. Now, I will give Pastor Marjorie credit, because the next time we came to Lake Placid, she was looking for that pothole. She wasn't going to drive through it again. Now, I wish she would have drove through it again so I would have had a chance at redemption, but it didn't happen that way. And thank God for supernatural power, my car was okay. That had to be supernatural because it was a big pothole. My spine, not so much. Let's look at the scripture. Be alert. What do you think when someone does something that you don't agree with? Are you alert? Can you look past the person and can you see Satan at work? Can you look past the person and see that Satan has guided them and they have fallen victim of what is going on in their lives and they're not in their right state of mind? I told you a little while ago that Sean and I have a lifelong friendship, and we do. That doesn't mean I don't rub him the wrong way from time to time, or it doesn't mean he doesn't rub me the wrong way from time to time. But we're smart enough to know that our friendship is based on 30 years, not the last 3 minutes. I watch people destroy years of friendship in 5 minutes because they stepped in a pothole that they weren't alert to see. It was right there. You should have known it when they were talking to you that way. You should have known that's not them. And the friendship that you're throwing away, Satan has worked it out because blessings were coming your way through that friendship, and Satan doesn't want you to have them, but you step in the pothole anyway. Be alert. Watch out. How many look out and say, "What are you doing now, Satan? Because I see you at work. I see in you trying to destroy something that was never meant to be destroyed." And of sober mind. Sober mind means every time the word sober is used, you liken that to alcohol, but this isn't talking about alcohol. This is talking about you having a clear mind so that you can have perspective on what it is going on in your life. Your enemy, the devil, many believe the devil exists, but many do not understand that he is, in fact, an enemy. Why is he an enemy? Because he's coming against you. If he wasn't coming against you, he would not be your enemy. He would just be an evil spirit. None of us are exempt from having the enemy. We need to be alert enough to know that there is an enemy and that he intends to cause trouble. My biggest question is, why do you keep walking into it? Why do you get in that conversation? I'm not going to lie. Some of you, I'd like to break your fingers. Why? You talk with your fingers. That's how you talk. You're talking faster with your fingers than your mouth could ever catch up. The devil's looking for you. How does he find you? That's how he finds you. You're running your mouth. Or in today's age, you're running your fingers. That's how he finds you. You wonder, why is my life difficult? Why am I going through all these circumstances? Why am I constantly struggling? Because you let the devil find you. Oh, he was looking for you. And when he finds you, he's going to cause you great difficulty. If you've ever played hide and seek as a child, you would know that you need to be quiet if you don't want to be found. You start making some noise, you start giggling behind the tree, they're going to find you. Devil's going to find you if you alert him to where you are. And we don't understand that we're running our mouth, we're running our fingers, and we're alerting the devil to where we are. But I'm right and they're wrong. Yeah, but you still alerted the devil to where you are. Nothing changed. Your life is the proof of that. My pastor told me how to avoid potholes. Would you like to know how to avoid potholes? Really? All right, here you go. Shut up and say I'm sorry. Do I need to repeat that for you? Shut up and say I'm sorry. Understand this principle. Don't make a pothole a sinkhole. Because the more you run your fingers, the more you run your mouth, you're taking what was just a little tiny pothole that you could barely feel, and now all of a sudden it's a sinkhole and you can't even get out of it. As I said today, people are talking with their fingers, so they're not even there to see the hurt that they're inflicting. Know this. You're alerting the devil, and he's in your way. You were not made to fail. You were not made to have broken relationships. You were not made to be in the circumstance that you're in. The key to succeeding is seeing the pothole before you go through it. Before you hit that sin button, before it comes out of your mouth, ask the question, would Jesus say this? Would Jesus do this? I've always said that we should care more about someone's feelings than about being right. A spiritual pothole is accepting without questioning. Why am I having this conversation? Why are they saying what they're saying? What have I done to upset them? What can I do differently? What do I need to do now? How can I resolve this? But the devil's got you in the hole. And all you want to do is spew your venom, prove that you're right, and take the circumstance and make it worse. Ephesians 6:18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions. What occasion are we talking about here? We're talking about the occasion that you're getting ready to mouth off. Did you stop and pray before you did it? Pastor Linda will type out a text, pray about it, and erase it. I've seen her do it multiple times. Stop trying to go on your own strength and go on God's strength. See, the bigger person, that's who we're supposed to be. As Christians, the bigger person, the more mature person. Mature people don't want to be in a conflict. A mature person will walk away. A mature person comes to the realization that nobody wins in a fight. Nobody wins in an argument. You're going to be hurt, they're going to be hurt. And no one won. But you got to say what you thought you needed to say, but you didn't need to say it at all. At some point in time, people, you must grow up. So pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. In other words, God says, just lay it out, but lay it out to me, not to them. Lay it out. All kinds of prayers, all kinds of requests. God, can you change their heart? God, can you help me find compassion? God, can you help me find understanding? God, can you help me find forgiveness? God, can you quench my anger right now? Because I'm hot. And I want to strike out. And what you're doing is you're not praying. All kinds of prayers and all kinds of requests. With this in mind, be alert. God says, with this in mind, pay attention to what's going on. Pay attention to how the devil's trying to destroy your friendship. Pay attention how the devil's trying to destroy your marriage. Pay attention how the devil's trying to destroy your relationship with your children. Because I got some news for you. Let him get one, he'll come after the other one. Ain't never going to stop. Be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. The madder you are at someone, the more you should pray for that person. I cannot even count the amount of people that have walked out of the church because they're immature and they were mad at somebody else in the church. I understand when they leave because of me. I get that. But I don't get why you leave because somebody else has upset you. What'd you come to church for? Not a social club. Pastor Sean and I used to go to a church, and I'd often say, if you put a golf course on the back 5 acres, we could call it a country club. Because that's what it was. It was a social club. Am I telling the truth? People weren't there for God. They were there to exude their power, their privilege, their look at me! You're mad at somebody in the church, sit there and pray for them. Or you don't want blessings from God. You like the curse. I'm trying to help you get out from under the curse that you continually put yourself in. I can't help you if I can't get you to stop cursing yourself. How long do you think the money that I give you is going to last? Not long, because the curses keep coming. We as people have a lot of different perspectives. And I was with someone that had a perspective on something that was going on, but they only got one side, so they only had one perspective. And I didn't take sides, because there are no sides to take. I just said there are two perspectives. And each one should have known the other one's perspective, and they would have stayed out of the pothole. Or sinkhole at this point. Be on your guard. What does that mean? That means I know something's coming. I'm looking for it. Someone's going to try to upset me. Some will succeed because I'm not where I'm going to be yet. I'm better than I was. But I'm working to try to understand this thing. I'm trying to figure this all out because I see all these things going on around me all the time that, you know, before I was a pastor, I never saw these things. But now I see all these things, and I'm trying to figure out what can we do to avoid these things. How can we not fall into the same trap all of the time? Teach them to be on their guard. Oh, it's coming. Someone's going to be mad at you. stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Being courageous and being strong is not getting involved in that mess. The strongest person in the fight is the one that walks away. That takes more strength when I was young, I didn't know how to walk away. And today, I still don't want to walk away. I just know that that's what I need to do. I'm strong enough to do it. Luke 21:36. Be always on the watch. What's that mean? That means you can't let your guard down. You can't relax. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen. Oh, I see what you're doing. I'm going to go into prayer. God, I see what they're up to. I see where this is going. Help me find a way to escape, because I don't want to get drawn into this. I don't want to get involved in this. I don't want to go through this. I'm going around the pothole, not through the pothole. And that you might be able to stand before the Son of Man. You know what that means? That means you're going to give an account for your actions. You're going to give an account for your words. You're going to give an account for your fingers. I'll let you in on a little something maybe you don't think about. But if I can see your text, and I always do, do you not think Jesus sees them? Just some food for thought. So-and-so's fighting, Pastor. Here, look. If I saw it, Jesus surely saw it. And he saw it if I didn't see it. And I'm not the one you have to give an account to. It is him. Says escape what's about to happen so that you can stand before your God. First Thessalonians 5:6 says this. I love this verse. So then, let us not be like others. You know why I love that so much? Because people tell me all the time, but so-and-so, but you said this to so-and-so, or you treated so-and-so like this, or, and what do I tell them? That's them. You're you. I hold you to a higher standard. I want God holding me to the highest standard he can hold me to. I'm held to the Bible says I'm held to a different standard to start with because I take this stage. I don't get to go to the excuse, well, God, what about Rob? God says, I'm not talking about Rob right now. I'm talking about you. I'm dealing with Rob. Now I'm dealing with you. Don't get it mixed up. Don't think because somebody else is doing something that it's okay for you to do something. Don't think because they're in your face, you can get in their face. I hope there's some apologies going out this afternoon. let us not be like others who are asleep. In other words, don't be like others that are ignorant. Don't be like others that lack understanding, wisdom, and knowledge. That's why I pray that prayer. Give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, because I don't want you to be like others. I want you to be like Christ. And I hope when you come in here, you have a goal. I hope I have a goal for going to church. I'm not just going to church to be entertained. I'm going to church because I have a goal, and my goal is to be Christ-like. So I got to go to church. I got to get the anointing on me. I got to go to church. I got to get the lesson. I got to go to church so that I can be more Christ-like. And when I'm more Christ-like, I can avoid the pothole. But let us be awake and sober. The devil is like a shot of whiskey. He will cloud your mind. He will cloud your mind. He will askew your thinking. And he will cause confusion. And he will begin to have you thinking things that just are not true. This person feels this sort of way about this sort of thing. No truth in it. How'd he get there? He didn't get there by falling victim to it. He got there because it was created by the devil to cause him to stop being alert and sober. It's just a trick. It's a magic trick. Matthew 26:31 says this. Wasn't that the scripture I didn't want? No? Yeah, next scripture. James 4:7-8. Submit yourselves then to God. What does that mean? Give up your rights. I've actually taken offerings to leadership and told them the only thing I want in the basket are their rights. Because if you're going to be a leader in this church, you don't have no rights. Don't try to defend yourself to me. It's not going to work. You don't have any rights. If you submit yourself to God, you don't have any rights. I don't have a right to argue with somebody. I want to. When I was a young Christian, my very first church, someone brought me into the pastor's office to complain about me. And they gave their side of the story, and then I gave my side of the story, and I was 100% sure I was one in the right. No possible way. His story was so weak, mine was so strong. I did everything right, they did everything wrong. And I was 100% sure I would be the victor in this. And it was a dispute over money. And we both finished, and the pastor looked down and he said, "Okie, pay the guy." I was furious. The guy got a big smile on his face. He had won. And he walked out. And I'm sitting there with the pastor. And he looked at me and he said, "You can't afford to have your name destroyed in this church. I know you were right. But it's not worth it. It's not worth the reputation that you'll gain. So pay the man and let it go." What was he saying to me? "You ain't got no rights. You want to be a deacon in this church? You ain't got no rights. Stay out of this stuff or give up your rights." That's what submitting yourself to God is. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You've heard this scripture 10,000 times if you've heard it once. But nobody's ever told you what it was meant to resist the devil. What does that mean? That means you don't do what it is you're doing. Shut up. Say, "I'm sorry." Walk away. That's resisting the devil. "But I'm right." And you alert the devil to where you are so that he can devour you, which he's doing. I hope I'm making some sense to somebody today. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Don't come into this church talking about how much you love God and then go home this afternoon and get on your little computer, your little telephone, your little iPad, your little Twitter, whatever, Facebook, X, Snapchat, I don't even know, and make a fool out of yourself. Be the Christian that you're trying to be. Stop making excuses. And walk the walk. At some point in time, you got to want better for yourself. That's what he's talking about being double-minded. You act a certain way and then do something different. Psalms. It's in my book. It's not up there. Oh. All right. That means I got to put on glasses. Psalms 141. If you have a Bible, turn to Psalms 141. "I call to you, Lord. Come quickly to me. Hear me when I call to you. May my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice." I want God to respond to me so quickly that there's no time in between my request and his answer. God, soften my heart. I want it softened. God, hear my cry. I want it heard. Calm my spirit, God. I want it calmed. Help me to forgive them. I want to be able to forgive them. Verse 3, set a guard over my mouth. Don't let my mouth outrun my intelligence. Don't let my mouth outrun my Christianity. Lord, keep watch over the door of my lips. Don't even let me say stuff like that, God. Do not let my heart be drawn to what is evil. How many know an argument's evil? Anybody know that? Don't let me be drawn into evil. Don't let me be drawn into this argument. So that I take part in wicked deeds along with those who are evildoers. Don't let evil draw me into their evil. Do not let me eat their delicacies. Verse 5. Let a righteous man strike me, that is a kindness. Let him rebuke me, that is oil on my head. My head will not refuse it. For my prayer will still be against the deeds of evildoers. You want to come across some evil? Pray against it. Don't attack it. My wife didn't train me. She let God do it. And when I upset her, which is pretty frequent if you know me, Lord, you see what that man you gave me just did. You take care of it. But I ain't never heard anything from her. And the next thing I know, God's dealing with me. Sometimes God's dealing with you and you know he's dealing with you. That's because somebody asked him to. Their rulers will be thrown down from the cliffs, and the wicked will learn that my words were well spoken. In other words, by walking away, you will teach that person more than you ever taught them by coming against them. You'll give them something to think about. They will say, as one plow breaks up the earth, so our bones have been scattered at the mouth of the grave. But my eyes are fixed on you, sovereign Lord. In you I take refuge. Do not give me over to death. Stop killing yourself. It's not worth it. Verse 9, keep me safe from the traps set by the evildoers. Where the potholes? Some people just love conflict. Some people just love drama. Figure out who that is in your life. And stay out of it. Keep me safe from the potholes set by evildoers. From the snares they have laid for me. Let the wicked fall into their own nets while I pass by safely. The word of God today wasn't to harm you, but it was to protect you. It wasn't to curse you, it was to bless you.
take heed. Show me by your actions you've heard what I said. God, application needs to come about. In all of our lives, we have to apply that which we learn from you. Help us to apply it. Help us to use it. And help us to be alert and sober that we pass through around the potholes rather than through them. And we thank you, God, for your divine protection. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.